all his conversation with Pash at the level required to respond adequately to Rob's interrogation, and so he accepted his tormentor's selective presentation of the transcript. Had Garrison been an experienced trial room counsel, he would have insisted earlier that his client answer no further questions about his interview with Pash until he had had an opportunity to review the transcript, and he also would have objected to Rob's strategic use of the transcript to ambush Oppenheimer. But Garrison left the door to the interview wide open, and Oppenheimer stoically walked through it. But Oppenheimer need not have capitulated so easily. There was an explanation for the convoluted story he had told Pash that was far less damaging than the interpretation that Rob maneuvered him into accepting. Recall that Eltinton told the FBI in 1946 that the Russian consular official, Peter Ivanov, had initially suggested that he contact three scientists associated with the Berkeley Rad Lab: Oppenheimer, Ernest Lawrence, and Luis Alvarez. Eltinton knew only Oppenheimer, and not well enough to ask him about sharing information with the Russians. But it seems entirely reasonable to suppose that Eltinton would have mentioned the three names to Chevalier, and that Chevalier might very well have specifically mentioned them to Oppenheimer, or at least noted that Eltinton had mentioned two unspecified others. So in recounting to Pash what he knew about Eltinton's activities, Oppenheimer referred to three scientists. Of all the interpretations of Oppenheimer's cock-and-bull story, this notion appears to make the most sense, supported as it is by evidence from the FBI's own files. Tellingly, the official historians of the AEC, Richard G. Hewlett and Jack M. Howell, reached a similar conclusion. Oppenheimer's story, although misleading, was accurate as far as it went. Unfortunately, thereafter, it became confused and twisted. Why? The clearest and most convincing explanation of why Oppenheimer presented Pash with such an elaborately confused representation of his kitchen conversation with Chevalier was offered by Oppenheimer himself the day before his security hearing was concluded. His explanation not only conforms with the most compelling known facts, but it also conforms with Oppenheimer's character, especially, as he had confessed to David Bohm 5 years earlier, his tendency, when things get too much, to say irrational things. Responding to Chairman Gray's query whether he might have been telling the truth in 1943 to Pash and Lansdale and was, in fact, fabricating today about the Chevalier incident, Oppenheimer replied, "The story I told Pash was not a true story. There were not three or more people involved on the project. There was one person involved. That was me. I was at Los Alamos. There was no one else at Los Alamos involved. There was no one at Berkeley involved. I testified that the Soviet consulate had not been mentioned by Chevalier. That is the very best of my recollection. It is conceivable that I knew of Eltinton's connection with the consulate, but I believe I can do no more than say the story told in circumstantial detail, and which was elicited from me in greater and greater detail during this, was a false story. It is not easy to say that. Now, when you ask me for a more persuasive argument as to why I did this than that I was an idiot, I am going to have more trouble being understandable. I think I was impelled by two or three concerns at that time. One was the feeling that I might get across the fact that if there was, as Lansdale indicated, trouble at the radiation laboratory, Eltinton was the guy that might very well be involved, and it was serious. Whether I embroidered the story in order to underline the seriousness, or whether I embroidered it to make it more tolerable, that I would not tell the simple facts, namely, Chevalier had talked to me about it, I don't know. There were no other people involved. The conversation with Chevalier was brief. It was in the nature of things not utterly casual, but I think the tone of it and his own sense of not wishing to have anything to do with it, I have correctly communicated." Oppie went on to elaborate. "I should have told it at once, and I should have told it completely accurately, but it was a matter of conflict for me, and I found myself, I believe, trying to give a tip to the intelligence people without realizing that when you give a tip, you must tell the whole story. When I was asked to elaborate, I started off on a false pattern." The notion that he would go to a number of project people to talk to them instead of coming to me and talking it over as we did would have made no sense whatever. He was an unlikely and absurd intermediary for such a task. There was no such conspiracy. When I did identify Chevalier, which was to General Groves, I told him, of course, that there were no three people, that this had occurred in our house, that this was me. so that when I made this damaging story, it was clearly with the intention of not revealing who was the intermediary.